paradise, put up a parking lot. With a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? It'd be paradise, put up a parking lot.
If they keep on prolonging the earth, tell me where we're gonna plant our seed. It makes me wanna cry for the children. Makes me wanna cry for Mother Earth. Makes me wanna cry for the children. Makes me wanna cry.
Did they ever hear of solar power? Ever see a windmill go? Feel the pull of an ocean wave? The heat from a volcano? There's so much we could do. There's so much we could know. If we listen to the earth.
Welcome. Glad you can join us for Ecologic. Clean air and water are healthy air and water. Every day is Earth Day. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. This is Ecologic for Wednesday, June 12th, 2024.
When your air or water are clean, thank an environmentalist. If not, become one. Enough said.
Today we are honored to celebrate Corinne Willinger, a beloved artist who just left us. A sage, a songwriter, a teacher, a good friend. We are joined by a few of those who loved her.
Our news segments for today cover the economics of climate change and efforts to save historic trees. Kudos to recurring Ecologic guest Christian Cooper for his win of a daytime Emmy. Do a search on ecoradio.org to hear his past shows, i.e. Black Birders.
Yay!
Alert to listeners along the Hudson River. Due to aging infrastructure failure in our cities, this time at the Crotonville sewer pump station, millions of gallons of partially treated sewage is being dumped in the river each day until repairs are made. Mm-hmm. Recreational boaters, kayakers, fisher persons are warned to avoid the river from Peekskill to Yonkers until further notice. It's the river that flows both ways, folks. I'd stay out of the Hudson both directions for a while. Drinking water is not affected in Croton.
From Paige Bennett of EcoWatch.com, here's some information to give to the people you know who don't care about environmental issues unless they're also economic issues. Two economics experts, Adrian Bilal from Harvard and Diego R. Koenigsegg from Northwestern, have a paper on the National Bureau of Economic Research's website on temperature rise and economics. They showed that for each degree of warming, there will be a 12% loss in gross domestic product, GDP, the measurement of a nation's economy. Most, if not all, studies had shown economic losses due to climate change, especially the global warming part of climate change, but this research measured the effects differently. They took global climate effects into account, not just local effects. That led to GDP loss six times higher. They looked at a climate economy data set spanning the last 120 years. They accounted for the effect of greenhouse gases on different GDPs. They accounted for El Nino and La Nina events, ocean temperatures and atmospheric humidity throughout the globe, and other long-term effects, not short-term effects such as sunspots. Global temperature shocks predict a large and persistent rise in extreme climatic events that cause economic damage, extreme temperature, extreme wind, and extreme precipitation. Global GDP loss will be 12% in 6 years and a 50% decline by 2100. Let me repeat that. The world's economy will shrink more and more until it is half of what it is now if all the aspects of climate change continue as they are now. If the people in your life don't want to listen to you about that, maybe they'll pay attention to expert economists from Harvard and Northwestern universities. We can't give you all 74 pages on the air, which is why we provide a link on the Ecologic webpage, ecoradio.org. Politicians and other decision makers tend not to read EcoWatch.com or listen to WBAI. They need to hear this information from another source, and that source can be you. Tell the people who represent you in local, state, and federal government what you learned on Ecologic. Send them the links we give on ecoradio.org.
We think in terms of human lifetimes, but the beings with whom we share the planet have much shorter and much longer lifespans. One example is a Gary White Oak in Tumwater, Washington, a species native to Washington State. The Davis-Meeker Gary Oak is a 400-year-old landmark on the Cowlitz Trail, a spur of the Oregon Trail, and is important to indigenous Cowlitz, Nisqually, and Kanaka peoples. It hosts a nest of kestrels, but is threatened with being killed, for an airport expansion, apparently with the excuse that a branch fell from the tree, indicating fragility. This is a perfect example of putting climate-damaging expansion ahead of protecting historic heritage and environmental features that help us clean up the mess we humans have made.
Buildings are considered historic objects more than anything related to nature, including trees, despite historic trees being more important to the people living near them and for a longer period of time than buildings or other man-made objects. Ecologic Collective member J.K. Canepa learned of this situation and wrote to Tumwater councilperson Kelly Van Holtz, who replied, "We really appreciate hearing from you. I would also like to see the tree saved and for a third-party independent arborist to give a full report on the health of the tree. I'm on record for being concerned with the timeline of the decision process because if this is an emergent issue, why has it been a year since the branch fell? Please keep using your voice. We are listening."
J.K. forwarded the reply, and encouraged, I wrote back to Ms. Van Holtz about a local experience here in Paramus, where a 300-year-old southern catalpa, visible on maps at least back to 1876, was threatened to be destroyed for a huge expansion of a religious facility in a residential neighborhood. Between the age of the tree and the size of the project, the zoning board voted against the project, saving the catalpa. Ms. Van Holtz replied, "Thank you both. It is amazing to see the distance of where support from our beautiful Gary Oak is coming from. Keep sharing your input. We are listening."
So, always speak up. The best legislators need to pay attention, and do pay attention. Kareem wrote many songs on many topics, including several environmental songs. This is one of the few recordings we have. Here are the New York City Metro Raging Grannies singing "On Top of Old Smoky."
On top of Old Smoky, all covered with smog, I lost my true lover in the pollution.
That was the New York City Metro Raging Granny singing "On Top of Old Smoky," recorded at WBAI. We have several of Kareem's friends and colleagues with us to give us their memories, thoughts of Kareem Willinger.
I'm reading this from Adele Rolliter, the musical director of The Raging Grannies.
Who are you?
Oh, I'm Mercy Van Vlack from The Raging Grannies. This is from Adele. Along with so many others, I loved Corrine. Many years ago, when I first joined The Raging Grannies, she was there, vibrant, beautiful, smart, and wonderfully and richly expressive. She was there when we wrote our songs together as a group at Marilyn Clements' house, and so active at every rehearsal through the years, allowing for corrections to her songs only when they honored her intent and the best messaging possible. She was there writing and sharing songs that so amazingly matched a melody with our theme, and some even with the original theme, so present and caring as she asked about how I was doing and shared her own experiences working with people, a source for me, a model, an inspiration, a warmth. Corrine came to visit me when I had brain surgery 6 years ago. She was 90. We set a chair out on the sidewalk because she wasn't up for the three flights upstairs, and we visited. Her having taken public transportation to see me, it meant so much to me. And even in her more recent years, so tickled to be with our group and still striving to stay involved with what was happening at a meeting. And then visiting her in the rehab center and her rolling her eyes at the therapist moving her around and her smiling at me. Me singing to her song, and then as she slept, me singing healing songs. I am glad she's not suffering anymore. And I was so glad to hear that she had a good day, the day before she died, playing Scrabble. That is so Corrine. Positively missing her and loving her. And you all, Adele.
Let's hear for more of Corrine's friends and fans.
Jerry.
Me?
Yeah. Go, Sherry.
Oh, okay. I'm with the organization Women in Black at Union Square. And Corrine was a very important and cherished member of Women in Black. For those of you who do not know Women in Black, it started in Israel in response to the first Intifada, where a group of Jewish and Palestinian women in Israel dressed in black and stood at a street intersection with signs saying, "Stop the violence, negotiate." And then it spread throughout Israel, and then it spread throughout the world, and it still exists throughout the world. And we have had a Women in Black vigil meeting every Thursday, standing every Thursday on 14th Street between Broadway and 4th Avenue. And Corrine was there steadily, and it was great having her with us. And it was always great hearing her songs in other venues. So I was shocked to find out that she was gone. And I appreciate your setting up this memorial for her.
Ella?
Me? Yeah, my name is Elsa Rosbach, and I actually am American, U.S. citizen and peace activist living in Germany. I studied here for a while, then I was in the U.S. in New York, and then I came back here. And in the course of that, then when the Iraq War started, I started to get to know the Grannies. They came over here for a demonstration, Granny Priest Brigade at that time, with when Bush and Chancellor Merkel were meeting. And since then, I've worked with the Granny Peace Brigade in both from here in contacts and all, and also I was, until COVID, usually twice a year or so in the U.S. and also in New York, where I actually lived for 20 years before, from 75 to 95. But anyway, I often stayed with Corrine, and she's kept in amazing touch with me per email. I have emails going from 2007 to 2019. I unfortunately lost contact with her a bit. It's also my own fault in bit with writing, but I stopped coming to the U.S. when COVID began in 2019. I'm 81 myself. I was like very cautious about traveling. And so I missed her last years, but I have emails from 2007 to 2019. And she was so loving and detailed, also like with Lillian, always concerned about her getting different places. Lillian Pollack, her friend with whom I was also a friend, or even with me, if someone tagged me in the U.S., tagged me in a something, she would send me a note about that. On top of her massive correspondence, really keeping different activists in touch with, she was, I know, active in not only Granny Peace Brigade, Raging Grannies. I was also somewhat active in United National Anti-War Coalition, and she was very active in that. Women in Black, I knew, and then trade union movement. And she had a rich left-wing background, a kind of a salt of the earth person, I would name her. And she was reliable politically and in practical matters, and plus a wonderful, fun, and creative person with her songs. I will miss her very much. And I ran across, just looking for this, how she wrote about you guys, Environmental TV Weekly News, to me on August 3rd, 2014, just to let you know about the Mesozoic era tradition and the Paleozoic party. And so thank you for allowing me to express my strong feelings about her. I hope I haven't talked too long. I'm going to stop right now. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Alice?
Yes, Corinne was amazing. Once she was asked to write a song for WILF, the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, who had something coming up. She was having her hip surgery, and she produced a song overnight, a really beautiful song, and that was Corinne. I want to talk about how she helped tell the Raging Grannies together. It was a period when Israel was doing just major attacks on Palestine. Things were very tense, and most of us wanted to really be involved in Palestine, and many of us wrote songs about Palestine, but not everybody in the Raging Grannies was on board, and every group had to decide what they were going to do, and some groups just decided, we're going to stand with Palestine, and if the members don't like it, they'll have to leave. She felt that we all needed to stand together, and it was more important to keep the Raging Grannies together than to sing the songs. It was a tough decision, but she said, well, the Raging Grannies, we're going to stand together with what the Raging Grannies want to do and keep all our members together, because everyone here is important and we'll sing on the issues we agree on. And then we formed a whole other granny, I think Grannies for Palestine or something, and we sang our songs that way and worked it out. So that's my story.
Maria?
Yes, I knew Corinne on two levels. One, because of the neighborhood. We both live on the Upper West Side. And so we used to go to concerts together. It's called the People's Symphony Concerts, which has been in existence for 125 years. It's a series that's quite remarkable. And when it started, when Dvorak was living in New York, the concerts were only 5 cents. In those days, mm-hmm. we would go, and it was a series of about 6 concerts every year. I knew her on that level, but I also worked with her in the Granny Peace Brigade. She was a very important figure, because after the arrest, after the trial, and we were searching for how we would continue our work. And she knew of a book called Blowback, by Chalmers Johnson, who was a historian. And it was called The Cost and Consequences of the American Empire. And the blowback idea was that after all the oppression by the U.S. Empire, there was going to be a blowback, a pushing back against the oppression. She brought the book to a meeting, and she had been traveling, as you know from what Elsa said, and a number of the grannies had been traveling by invitation to other countries, and they were hearing the same message. Because of that book, we launched a series of teach-ins on U.S. bases overseas, David Vine, who is a professor at American University and has written a book about U.S. bases, that became our Bible. So we did a series of wonderful teachings. It all started with Corrine saying, there's this book called Blowback. We could use it. Anyhow, an amazing woman. I miss her. Thank you for being here with everybody. It's a joy to honor her this way.
That was Nydia Leaf. And you're listening to Ecologic, WBAI's premier environmental show, right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. I'm Donna Stein.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Ken Gale.
Now back to friends, fans, and other loved ones of Corrine Willinger. Maxine?
Hi, Maxine DeSetta. I joined the Raging Grannies during the Iraq War. I was desperate to be with a group against the war. And I hosted the Grannies for a while in my studio. And although I had a few differences with the group, Corrine was always curious as to what we felt about different issues. She was not only bright and beautiful, but I think it's her curiosity. She would ask you a question or your position on something, and she was totally open to listening to your perspective. And she gave me such respect. And actually, on her 80th birthday, she asked if she could have her birthday in my studio. And it was really a privilege to be around her. And she represents an incredible model to all of us to keep focused on the very important issues in the world, including, as just what was said, the foreign policies of this country that I live in. Thank you.
Edith?
Edith, are you there?
I I knew Corrine from when I joined the Granny Peace Brigade in 2008 or so. I thought she was such a wonderful person, but one thing that we had in common was she told me that her husband had Alzheimer's, which my husband had, and she said it was very hard, but she got through it, and I remembered her for that. So she was a very good person.
This is a tough one, everybody. Yeah. A lot of love here. All right, who's up,
Emily?
Next?
Hi, I'm Emily. I am Corrine's granddaughter. Thank you all for being here. Hearing all of what you share about my grandma is a magical gift. And what I'm recognizing in her passing and like within my grief is that I still feel so close to her. And that continues to grow and spread. And so thank you all. I'm just going to read something. I'm not as good at like impromptu sharing that I've been like editing and revising and adding to as I process my grandma's passing. My grandma was strong, passionate, and powerful. She was fire, a blaze stoked by past love, loss, and a group of raging women who nurtured her flame. They sang to the rhythm of the beating of their hearts and swam directly against the current of war, inhumanity, and environmental degradation. I wish you could know me now, in this very moment, since I caught your fire, since I found my voice, since I became a mom. They say when someone passes, their fire goes out, but I no longer believe that sentiment. My grandma's torch
helped to spark and reinvigorate so many other flames. And I can feel her spark and our joint continued fire in my chest as I live in this vibrant world in need of such love. Our fire within me and others made only more brilliant and warm by my grandma's memory. Thank you.
Thank you.
Julie?
You have your mute on.
Sorry about that. I'm Julie. And as you know, I lived with Corinne as a raging granny. I became particularly close with her and Lillian because I lived at Park West Village, which was just between them. Lillian was a block away and Corinne was a block away, and Corinne still had the car and she would drive. So I spent a lot of time with the two of them. And when one of my sublets ended abruptly, I asked Corinne if I could come and stay with her for the summer. And I just intended it for it to be the summer until I could work things out. And I knew she had two bedrooms, but I didn't know she had an extra bathroom. So as it turned out, I stayed longer than the summer. So we got along really well. And I got to know her and her family. That the first time that they came, I went and stayed with a friend. But after that, you know, I felt really comfortable with them and they felt comfortable with me. So we all just stayed there together, you know. So I really miss her. And I had to leave because of a family emergency on April 6th. But I always made it a point to go back to Park West and see her and another friend in the building who was in her 90s as well. Although I totally expected her to be there when I got back. But I went to see her, and I brought back with me from Raleigh a paper that she had given me that her father had written. And I put it in the chat, but I'm sure Wendy hasn't seen it yet. But she wouldn't give me the original, but she let me make a copy. And her son had actually Googled it for me because her father was born around 1891. And this is a beautiful paper. And I hope that Wendy's going to find the original and that maybe it got published at some point because it was really interesting. And I had planned to talk with her about it because she remembered it, and she let me make a copy of it, but she wouldn't give me the original. So Wendy's probably going to find it, and I want to follow up on that because I'm sure she would want me to, you know, to follow up to see if it was ever published. So I really miss her and regret that I won't be able to talk with her again about it, because she did have a good, even though she had some memory issues, she remembered things about her father. So I'll be in touch with Wendy about
that.
Thank
you, Julie Lee. And people have to remember to mute themselves. Okay. Mm-hmm. And next we have Mercy Van Vleck singing one of Corinne's ecological songs.
This is from 2016. And in the way of the grannies, Corinne wrote it. And then Alice and me and Shirley and Marty and Ken had a piece of it. As we said, we've updated and changed as it went along. But this is a song she wrote that Ken asked for Ecologic. Energy efficiency, that is what we need to see. From New York to Kansas and in every town, we want everyone to make their electric use go down. Military globally spreads poisons on land, space, and sea. Bases gush oil constantly, not energy efficiency. Corporations get their way, bright lights and AC night and day. Jet planes and limos are guzzling gas. Cars clog the roadways, but public transport second class. So let's produce food locally, and from those stinky trucks break free. Let's cut consumption till we see energy efficiency. 86% of New York soot from 1% of buildings isn't cute. Cut grimy fuel oil, that's a good thing. But moving to gas just exposes us to methane sting. Let's use our wind, tides, earth, and sun. Good windows, great insulation. And solar thermal plants must run for energy efficiency. Thank you, Corrine.
Thank you, Mercy.
Yep. Marilyn?
I'm going to read what I have prepared, too, so I don't go over time. I was a friend and comrade of Corrine for the better part of 40 years. We first became acquainted during the late 1980s through the initiative called the Moscow Trials Campaign Committee, which we established here in the U.S. during the years of Gorbachev's perestroika in the USSR, when more of Stalin's victims were being politically rehabilitated. Our campaign was to try to have these rehabilitations include the frame up victims of the three Moscow show trials in 1936 to 38, when Bolshevik leaders were framed up and shot. These included, of course, the great revolutionary leader Leon Trotsky, who was tried and convicted in absentia because he had already been deported by Stalin in 1929 and wasn't in the USSR. Gorbachev's regime rehabilitated the others, but never Trotsky, so we didn't succeed at that. Corrine and her husband, Harry Turner, and I were all builders of this campaign, and that political affinity was something that bound us together as friends and comrades ever since. After that, we collaborated closely, Corrine and I and Corrine's close comrade, Lillian Pollack, on the Labor Party Advocates Project in the 90s. This was an initiative by the Oil, Chemical, and Atomic Workers Union leader, Tony Mazzocchi, who everybody might have heard of, to lay the foundations for an actual labor party in the U.S., which unfortunately never materialized either. In 2000, Corrine and Harry and I joined Socialist Action and were involved in intense political work there for several years. Others are describing the many other things that Corrine was involved in her brilliant way. Corrine and I met frequently over those years for lunch. One time a while back, Corrine drove Lillian and me to the Cloisters for lunch, which was quite an adventurous experience, which I don't have time to relate here. Corrine was one of the finest persons I have ever met. Deeply educated and very firm in her ideas, but so nice about it. Revolutionary minded, she was always concerned to be active. Even when she was in the elder home, having difficulty walking far, she was always regretting that she was not able to be active. Even when she was in intensive care after her fall, when I arrived to see her, her first questions were, what's going on? What demonstrations? What meetings? What have you been doing? And she had such a fighting spirit forever. I miss her very much and will miss her always. She was so kind and resourceful. She was so kind and respectful, unlike anyone I ever met. She was in a class by herself, and we were all very lucky to have known her. I'm sorry. Thank you.
Thank you, Marilyn. Boy, Johnny. All right.
Janet.
Ken?
Put in Janet.
Yeah, Janet.
Okay, I'm unmuted. Here I am.
Yep.
Yeah, I just I turned on the show intending to listen to it. I didn't know who was.
Okay, Janet, you're up.
Lined up to memorialize, but
yeah,
I'm on.
Yes, yes, you are.
Yeah.
Welcome to Ecologic.
Yeah, thank you. I don't know. I just turned down the radio intending just to listen to the memorial, you know, and.
Okay, you don't have to say anything. It's okay.
Oh, Alice called me to tell me you know.
Okay,
you know,
we're on the air
right now. So
okay. So I'll just say, I'm rather a fairly new granny. I didn't know Corinne very long, but I did know her. I just admired her, all the stuff she's done. And I did go to see her in the hospital a few days before she passed. Me and Judith went over there, and very happy we did. And we had plans to go see her at Mary Manning Walsh, and we couldn't, you know. He passed, and I just really admire her. And yeah, but she made it till 90, whatever it is. That's a really good run. It really is.
Yeah,
96. Okay.
96.
Okay.
Thank you, Janet. I'm glad you could be here.
Thank you.
Who hasn't gone?
Wendy,
please unmute.
Yeah.
Wendy, please unmute.
Corinne's beautiful daughter.
Yeah, Corinne's beautiful daughter.
You're still muted, Wendy. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm her daughter, as you've heard, and I wrote this eulogy, and so I'm gonna read most of it. So Mom lived a long life filled with loss, but also happiness and fulfillment. She lost her only brother, her only sibling, actually, during World War II, when her brother was missing in action in France. And that really affected her. She was very young. She was maybe 18 or so, and then her dad was, her whole family was in mourning. And then he passed away soon after. So she, basically then went on and married my dad, and she had a good life, I think. Her closest friend was her sister-in-law, Maria, and my parents enjoyed, you know, folk music. They had some things in common, liberal politics at the time, but then in their 40s, they kind of went on different routes. My dad and my mom got divorced. And it was very hard on her. The divorce was hard on her. And then, of course, having lost so much loss when she was young. But when she moved into the city, well, she met Harry, and then she moved into the city. And her life changed. By that time, we were all out of the house. We were grown, and that's when she became much more politically active. She had always been, but not nearly as much as when she was on her own and, out back in, you know, in Manhattan. And she lived in Manhattan, in that Central Park West apartment for close to 40 years, I think. So long, long time. But she lived with her convictions, and she was politically active and I think she was pretty happy at that time. Of course, she ended up losing Harry, which was very sad, but she went on to being more and more active, and until the last few years when her personality changed, but that's only the last few years. She was very active, and it was very hard to watch her during the last few years because, again, her personality had changed. I didn't see that she was very political at that time. I thought she wasn't. Because of her personality changing. But as Marilyn said, she must have had, she had a part of her that still remained. And I miss her every day. I loved her. We had a close friendship, a very good relationship. So my life has really changed. So very sad, but she was 96. She lived a really fulfilling life.
She inspired a lot of people.
Yes.
We're all carrying on.
Thanks so much, Wendy, for joining us. And you're listening to Ecologic, WBAI's premier environmental show, right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. I'm Donna Stein.
I'm Ken Gale.
And we have Sally Gellert with us. WBAI is one place you can go to hear the voices of the people, listener-supported radio. There are many viewpoints. We bring you discussion and experts you won't hear anywhere else. This is your media. Sure, we ask your donations. Isn't that better than when media companies take your dollars from influencers with corporate money? Yep, we think so too. So please be generous with your support, whether you request a thank you gift or join us as an Ecologic BAI buddy. It all works to keep your radio station on the air. We appreciate all our listeners, and we appreciate when you show us that you want us to stay on the air. Just a change doesn't happen unless activists take the steps to make it happen. Media doesn't just stay on the air without your action either. In this case, your financial support. Please call 212-209-2950 or go to give2wbi.org to make your donation. Or you can send a check or money order. And to let us know you are a listener, we'd love you to go to our website and sign up for our email list. You'll be sure to hear of upcoming shows.
We appreciate your belief in the power of grassroots media and this radio show. Your contribution allows us to go forward. We are particularly grateful to our Ecologic BAI buddies who help ensure that the station's bills get paid. Please donate now so you can be proud of having done your part to keep Ecologic and WBAI on the air.
Your donations help to ensure that our tower rent is paid so that our on-the-air broadcast is uninterrupted. Every dollar you contribute goes directly toward sustaining independent journalism, empowering grassroots initiatives, and fostering a sense of belonging in our community. Together, we can make a difference through the power of community radio. Please support WBAI. Go to give2wbai.org, send us a check or money order, however you contribute. We really appreciate your donations.
WBAI's rich wealth of unique and insightful, informative, entertaining programming allows you to enjoy public affairs shows, art shows, to health and science shows. 168 hours for you each week. You'll hear voices on WBAI that are left out of mainstream media. Please do your part to help us bring you incredible programming. The number to call is 212-209-2950 or give to WBAI.org to make your donation. Or you can send us a check or money order.
Green had been a member of WBAI for decades, literally for decades. And I remember one time talking to her about some little piece of gossip that was going on at the station. And Corinne's like, I don't care. The shows are good. That's what's important. Mm. All that other stuff, it doesn't matter. The shows are good. And that voice of Corinne has been in my head ever since and helps me deal with anything that may happen anywhere in my life, not just BAI. And when you choose to become our Ecologic BAI buddy, you give us a reliable source of support that we can depend on, just as you can depend on WBAI. We're here for you all the time, and you'll be helping to ensure that we stay here. Just $10 or $15 a month, more if you can, enables people to listen to wherever they are.
When you donate, please let us know if we can thank you on air. We appreciate all our listeners, and we'll thank you publicly, if you'd like, as soon as we can.
Monday was the first day of the summer of heat actions, protesting Citibank's financing of fossil fuel projects. They are one of the foremost oil and gas financers. Ugh. Find out summerofheat.org for details. Check it out at summerofheat.org.
And we bet there'll be raging grannies at some of those protests. Right, Alice?
Elder's Day is tomorrow.
And I think I have a little bit of time before Vicky closes us off with this amazing song she wrote. One of my favorite Corinne song stories happened at the city, New York City Council. They had a hearing about the Trans-Pacific Partnership. It was one of the worst pieces of legislation ever proposed in the United States. I mean, it would erode every single democratic freedom we have, whether it was labor rights or clean air or indigenous rights. I mean, it's just amazing. These 300 corporations would have destroyed what this country is and what it stands for. And I asked a bunch of songwriters, please write a song about the TPP. 2 hours later, I get a couple of verses from Corinne. How are these? And like, oh my God, they're great. So they went to the city council hearing on the TPP, and Mercy put her name up. And when her name was called, five raging grannies come to the front of the hearing room. And the bailiff is like, no, no, just one person. And Mercy's like, no, we are just one person. And the guy just didn't get it. And so Lillian Pollack sits down. And he goes, she can't sit down. And Mercy said, she's 100 years old. She gets to sit down. And that was too much for the bailiff. He just walked his way with his hands in the air. They sang Corinne's song. It was the best testimony of the whole day. There were some amazing people testifying. But Corinne's song covered almost the entire issue in the same 2 minutes that everybody else had. And the person running the hearing, who in the beginning looked like she never smiled in her life, couldn't stop smiling for the rest of the hearing. And about a month later, there's another hearing of some sort. Mercy goes to it, and the bailiff looks at her and goes, oh, it's one of our TPP singers. She said, our. And that's what Corinne's songs can do. And Mercy gave me the date. It happened April 27th, 2015. Today I'll never remember.
Triumph.
Anyway, let's close out with Vicky Ryder. Oh.
Yeah, I'm Vicky Ryder, and I am a member of the North Carolina Raging Grannies, and have traveled around a lot in this country, writing songs for and singing with grannies, both here and in Canada. And I have to tell you that of the literally hundreds and hundreds of grannies that I've been privileged to come to know, Corinne was always very, very special. And it's hard to put my finger on exactly what it was that made her stand out. But I had special love for Corinne and for her commitment to fighting fascism and fighting war and fighting for safety, for gun safety, and of course for the environment, which was a passion of hers as well. I was devastated to hear that she was no longer going to be with us. Like all of you, I'm going to miss her terribly. And she was an inspiration to me as well. This is a song that I did write or have a share in writing. You know that we grannies are open to sharing our songs and inviting others in to assist. This one actually was inspired by Rose DeShaw of Kingston, Canada, Ontario, Canada. And I have changed it a bit through the years. I always remember Pete Seeger reminding us of the folk process, that these songs are ours to own and to change. And so I don't take credit for it, but I am really honored to be here and sing it for you today. It's
okay
in my heart to sing for her. Does her song die when
I mean, is there it? Is there any better?
Excuse me.
Maxine, let Vicky go.
Please remember to mute yourselves. Go ahead, Vicky.
Okay.
Does her song die when a gran is gone? or does her melody live on? I think when she's no longer bound to this troubled earth, her song lives on. Her songs helped quench the flames of war and still the tyrants evermore. And through the strife, we hear her still. And so we know her song lives on. The song she sang while with us here still bring a smile, a laugh, a tear. And though she touched, must surely know, though she is gone, her song lives on.
Thank you, Vicki. Well, it's time to wrap up. So thanks for joining us and in honoring one of the most special activists who graced our lives and served the planet. Thanks to all our guests. Look for the Raging Grannies at almost every rally or march. Go to our webpage for more information. As always, if you'd like a follow-up or news report on any of these topics or our other previous shows or news items, email us using the clickable link near the top of the page, just under the promo meme, ecoradio.org. And please go to give2wbai.org to become a BAI buddy or make a donation.
Join us next Wednesday, June 19th at 10 a.m. And we love to stay in touch with you. So those of you online, please sign up for our email list or like our Facebook page. We are at WBAI Ecologic, no dashes.
Unlike most radio stations, WBAI welcomes you to get involved. Our meetings are open to the public, and you can find details on the meeting section of the WBAI.org homepage. The LSB meets tonight at 7 p.m. And, of course, LSB Local Station Board. And, of course, we always need your contributions to support everything that makes the broadcast happen. Pledging as an Ecologic BAI buddy now, during this show, really helps Ecologic especially.
We're sure you'll see the value of Ecologic and WBAI and support us. Ecologic covers many issues. Take a look at our website to see just how many. Donating to WBAI in the name of Ecologic is like supporting many groups. They all have a voice here. Ecoradio.org.
Thanks in advance for your support. Call 212-209-2950 or donate online. Go to give2wbai.org. If you prefer, you can send a check or money order for your membership and or donation. Mail to WBAI Radio, Attention Membership, 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11217. That's 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, 11217.
As always, we welcome you to go to our website and let us know what's important to you. We have often covered topics that you, our listeners, suggest. Thanks in advance for your support and suggestions. You can become a voting member of WBAI or make a donation at give2wbai.org and do that before June 30th to be sure that you're able to vote in the next election. Go to send us a check or money order if you prefer.
We are always glad to have you with us for Ecologic Live or on the archives. This show will be on the WBAI archives in just 5 or 10 minutes.
Our thanks to our engineer, Michael G. Haskins. We couldn't do this without you. I'm Sally Gellert.
I'm Ken Gale.
And I'm Donna Stein. Join us on Wednesday, June 19th at 10 a.m. We're usually here Wednesdays at 10 a.m. between the excellent programs Covert Action Bolton and Living for the City. Check our website for updates. And welcome to our new interim program director, general manager, Bob Henley. Best of luck to the outgoing PD, Linda Perry, and GM Bertold Reimers. And thank you for being our listeners.
See the sun, how bright it shines on the nations of the earth.
All who share this thing called life celebrate each day's rebirth.
So solar power, inexpensive energy. So
Pacifica National Board and the WBAI Local Station Board will be voting on a proposal, Pacifica Bylaws Amendment, between July 10th and August 24th of 2024. Information on the amendment about how vacancies are filled on local station boards and about the process will be posted on the Pacifica.org website.
This is a stick-up. Women and children jump off the train. The rest of you, on the floor. I said pronto!
But kind sir, this isn't just any train. It's the Arts Express. We're in the middle of a fascinating interview with a major film director. And following that will be a review of a new indie feature. And then there's a reading from one of the most stimulating poets in the U.S.
That does sound interesting. Well, in that case, let's all retire to the bar car and listen. Let's keep that big train a-rolling.
That's Arts Express Wednesdays at 9 p.m. with host Prairie Miller and co-host Jack Shalom.
Establishment media sucks. All that's light and so good luck. Bullshit we can't afford. Why's fomenting this? Oh, watch and see as his jack off the medium speeds and jumps the medium. Head on. It's the Jimmy Dore Show.
Guess what? They're adding another night of Jimmy Dore on WBAI. That's the point here. You turn in Wednesdays and Thursdays at midnight for the Jimmy Dore Show. That's right. They've added an additional show each week for you on WBAI in New York because the world's messed up. That's the Jimmy Dore Show with me, Jimmy, Wednesdays and Thursdays at midnight on Free Speech, Peace, and Justice Radio, WBAI New York.
Do not freak out.